corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what do you," he asked, "who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. He then began to teach them. Is that it? Okay. I know I meant to say some words now, but... Yes. That's it. "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Thank you. Do be seated. I feel I've put Fiona to terrible trouble here, but my... I know this is awful, but it's just when you get on a bit, your eyesight is not as it used to be. And I find that just great. It's lovely to be here, and Fiona is just amazing, isn't she? And it's lovely to meet old friends. And well, we're all maturing nicely, aren't we? And maturing on the inside, which is a good thing. Because James gives us rather a strong reminder about the power of the tongue. And he's quite clear that this, a very small part of our body, is a very powerful thing, for good or for evil. And we've all heard that saying, haven't we? "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me." I think my grandmother used to quote that. We all know now it is totally untrue. But unless you are absolutely steeped in the Word of God, and so secure in him, and so without any sin, so that it just bounces off you, it's like water off a duck's back, but You know, we haven't got there yet, have we? And even now, as we're getting older, somebody could say something and it's really hurtful. And I know that I have said things in my lifetime that have hurt other people. So many things that I just wished I hadn't said. And the thing is, you can't rub it out, can you? But thankfully, you know, as Christians, we don't need to live with guilt, do we? We have an amazing God, a wonderful Saviour. And repentance is just such a wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this. It says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. But worldly sorrow brings death and lacks repentance." You know, it must be terrible for people who haven't got Jesus to run to and know that he forgives us and that his blood was shed and it just takes everything away. Regret, living with regret would be terrible. So Jesus not only deals with the past, but now he's changing us from the inside out by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So we find that our tongues are getting tamed. And the fruit of the Spirit is growing in us. We sing that song with the children, "The fruit of the Spirit is growing." And it's self-control, and it gets better. But you know, God's always challenging us, isn't he? Lately, he's pointed out to me about my tongue. I've got a mum still alive. She's 3 months off 105. She lives in Wimbledon, and I go over there quite a lot from here to Wimbledon. Sometimes it's a doddle, but other times, you know, the traffic can be awful and it can take much longer than I think. And, you know, it's not good when you're in a hurry, is it, in the car, when you're behind the wheel. And Jesus was never in a hurry. And we should never be in a hurry, should we? And I get really angry with other drivers. I don't know who they are, but I go, you know, and when they're in the wrong part of the road or they're being a bit slow and they haven't been looking at the traffic lights, I'm going, "Get on with it, you know," and I say all sorts of things. And God has said, I've got to change. It just came to me the other day, and it's not good what I'm using my tongue. Or if I see somebody on the television and they're saying what I consider is a lot of nonsense, I say things like, "You're mad," and, you know, it's not good. It's bad. And God will convict us and show us of where we need to change. What we say can bring life, restoration, healing, wisdom, reconciliation, be a blessing, a great power for good, what we say. Or it can hurt and it can cause depression and negativity and bad news and death. So how we think comes out through our tongue, doesn't it? Especially if we're under pressure. And Jesus said, "What comes out of a person's mouth makes him unclean." It's not about washing on the outside. Jesus said it's what's in your heart. So if we're harboring wickedness in our heart, it will come out in our words. But the good news is that we belong to Jesus. He forgives all who turn to him and turn away from wrong. But that's the first thing. Now, what about things that other people have said? Not just what we've said, but what have people said about you? What have people said about us? Because in our lives, we've been crushed and sometimes defined by the things that people have said. It's damaged our identity. The image that we have of ourselves is often maybe from our parents or close friends or relatives. They've said things, and, you know, we've taken it on board. They've labeled us. Perhaps when you were growing up, you're difficult, or you're naughty, or you're bad, or you're too quiet, or you're fat, or you're stupid, or you're not like your brother or your sister. And these things can stick. And by the time we're our age, they shouldn't. We have a new identity in Christ. Sorry. You see, words can be a curse on you. If you'll never do this, or you're always that. Those are words that can bring a curse on you. And it makes you feel that you're a disappointment, or you're a mistake, or you're a misfit. So, what do we do about that? I know when I was growing up, my sister, who's 2 years older than me, she had the most amazing personality. I mean, she still has. She can talk everywhere. She'd be chatting to all of you and keeping you amused and interested. She speaks all the time. And when I was little, I couldn't get a word in edgeways. And my mother called me quiet. You're the quiet one. You're the shy one. And she told other people, this is the shy one. And you know, that's what I became when I was at home. So then I was told I was a little bit slow on the uptake. Actually, it wasn't until about 15 years ago or whatever it was, when I was doing my ordination training, that they said to me, you know, you've got a form of dyslexia. I always thought I had, but they rather confirmed that, because I still don't know my left from my right sometimes. And that can define you. But what should define us? It's what Jesus says, isn't it? But if you're still living with things that have hurt you, words, what James was talking about, you know, the tongue, then you've got a fabulous ministry team here, and you can go to somebody and ask them, I think I need some prayer about that. I still struggle with that. Now, the next thing is, what does Jesus say about us? Because it's the words, isn't it? The words that come out of his mouth are life-giving. And that's what we need to know. Our true identity is in him. Because we're all individually precious. Each one is unique. He is so pleased with his handiwork. When he looks at you, he's delighted with you. You are the apple of his eye. You are the one Jesus loves. You're chosen. Your name is written on his hands. He's called you by name. He calls you beloved. Oh, I could go on. So now the next thing is, what do we say? What does our tongue do when we talk about Jesus? What do we say about him? Jesus said to the disciples, he said, who do people say I am? And then he said to them, and who do you say I am? He didn't say, who do you think I am? He said, who do you say I am? And speaking out about Jesus, or singing out about him, is the most joyous and liberating and uplifting thing that any of us can do. Not just in the church, but in the kitchen, in the shower, anywhere. We sing that song in our children's church, which is, you know, to glory in the kitchen, glory in the bar, glory in the living room, glory everywhere. You know, you just, it's everywhere. That's what we should be doing, speaking. And so I've just picked out a few verses from Scripture, mainly from the Old Testament. Psalms, Psalm 92, it says, "It is good to praise the Lord, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." It is good. Psalm 96, it's to announce, it's to speak out, it's to proclaim. It says, "Proclaim his salvation day after day and declare," again, "declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people." Psalm 118, verse 17, "I will not die, but live and proclaim what the Lord has done." Psalm 145, 4, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds." Have you told your grandchildren about how Jesus came into your life? Have you told your children and your grandchildren about the amazing things that God has done for you? I will proclaim. We just went down to see some friends who are even older than us down in Devon. And years ago, we used to go to Devon with our children in a caravan. And we used to go down this very steep cliff to a cove that was our secret cove. It was just so gorgeous. And we took our children back there when our grandchildren were very little. And that was about 20 years ago. And I said to Simon, "I'd love to go to that cove." And this is only a couple of weeks ago. Well, when our friends were driving us down this hairy sort of track by the cliff, and I'm going, no, I don't think this is it. And they said, yes, it is. That's where you used to park your car. And as we drove over to let somebody behind us pass by a gate, and there was no other cars, he wound his window down, this chap in the car, and he went, "Are you looking for that cove?" And we went, "Yes." He said, "Well, it's this way. I'm going down there." Well, we left our friends sitting in their car, and we walked. We went down, started to descend the cliff, and this chap was in the sea, and he saw us coming, and he ran across the boulders at the bottom, and he started to climb up the cliff, and he helped us down. We couldn't have done it without him, and my husband certainly couldn't, because his knees and his feet are not good. And he said, you know, he helped him down. And we swam in the sea, and this man came into the sea with us, and then he helped us up the cliff. And then when he went ahead of us, once we were up the cliff, he saw our friends. He said, "Are you looking for Simon and Caroline?" He said, "They're all right. They've got up the cliff, and they're just on their way." And when we were down there swimming, I said, "Oh, you've been so kind." I said, "What is your name?" He said, "Gabriel." I said, "Oh, that's wonderful." I didn't quite know what to say, but you see, God was there, and I'm telling you that. I'm using my mouth to tell you of the wonderful works of God that have just recently happened to me. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim that his name is exalted. In Deuteronomy it says, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of the Lord. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just." Now you might think, oh, that's all the Old Testament. What about the letter of John? The first letter of John, it's all about proclaiming. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we've looked at, our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." The life appeared, and we have seen, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and so on. So let's heed James's warning. Also remember that we don't need to carry guilt for anything that we may have said that has hurt others. We can be free. Repent and be forgiven. And if it's a struggle, get some help and ministry, but you can come through. Second, we also must forgive others and get prayer if we are still affected by the things that people have said about us. Thirdly, we must read, meditate, memorize on the words. Take them on board. The words that God says about us as loved, confident children of God. And we have to use this little thing, this tongue, to speak and proclaim and tell how amazing is our God, our Savior, our Jesus. And how thankful we are for the Holy Spirit who is transforming us and changing us. He's been poured out into our hearts. So finally, though, these words have to be accompanied by faith, by believing. You know, it's not just words. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, he reminds us, it's not just about speaking words, but do we have God's power? The power in the word of God. So, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the truth. And thank you that we can be transformed by the renewing power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. We thank you that you hear us pray, and that there is nothing that you cannot do for us who are your beloved children. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. That was wonderful. Thank you. Challenging. Good. We need